Hello, dear friend. Welcome to No Draft. I'm Vivi. Today, we have two special lovely guests, Marie and Eva from Germany.
It's typically for us like an international greeting. We'll say like good morning, good afternoon, good evening for everyone over the world. And I'm very excited to record this episode because it's the first English version of the episode we have ever recorded.
Yeah. We haven't tried to invite non-Chinese native speakers to join our podcast, but we think that's a cool thing. Most of our friends actually are Taiwanese who study or work overseas. However, some people, they will say that they are interested in our podcast and would like to join our conversations. However, they don't speak Chinese. So we started to thought about that. Maybe we can try to do some English episodes to invite some friends can share their experience. Maybe it will be a new adventure. Today, we still have no draft, no preparation before this recording. But I think...
Like a name, like a channel of the name, we call it no draft.
Right. Yeah. I still think that we can trust each other because this is a safe place. You can be truly who you are and speak what you want to share with us. I think it will be a great episode. So let's just enjoy.
So let's first welcome Eva. You can make a self-introduction of yourself. Where are you and why are you there?
Hello, everyone. My name is Eva from Taiwan. Now I study in Germany. Now it's my exchange year. I will stay in Heidelberg for a whole year. Now this is my fifth month in Germany. I study teaching English as an English teaching in Taiwan. But now I study English here, but not specific language teaching. Just the general English literature.
Do you learn German as well?
Yes, most of my class are German courses, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
I totally forgot all the grammar. And
oh, by the way, Vivi has also have exchange experience in 2019 or 2020 in Germany as well.
I only stay half a year in Berlin, but a short period of time totally changed my life. So maybe... later on, I can share some experience in Berlin because many Germans say that Berlin is not Germany. Berlin is Berlin. It's totally another world.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that later.
Okay, then we will welcome our second guest, Marie, who is the real native speaker of German.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I'm Marie. I was born and raised in Germany, but my roots are actually from Ukraine. So I still grew up with a double culture thing. So I guess I can share some perspective on that as well later. And currently I'm in a small town called Münster in the western part of Germany. And I'm studying in my master's international marketing and sales. And through that master's, I got to go to Pittsburgh for a project, Moving the Cities. There I met Jasper, so I'm really excited to be here, and I'm glad we could build a connection there.
Oh, so you know Jasper when you were at Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
Before that, you didn't know each other.
No.
We were a co-worker for one week, and we brainstormed a project for sustainability. I have talked with Vivi in our previous episode. We have an innovative idea of the sustainability, but America is so lost. They didn't think our idea is good because they, we are very so advanced at the time. Interesting. Okay, so I think we can start from Eva. She has list some of the bullet points. She think about kind of a culture shock and what's the major difference between Taiwanese culture or Asian culture comparing to the Western German culture. Okay, Eva, the floor is yours.
I list a couple of bullet points that I want to share because I think that is quite different from Taiwan or from Germany. And the first thing I want to talk about is what people were doing in the transportation. In Taiwan, when we get on the bus and we will just take our phone, and then we start to looking at our message, texting back, and spending a lot of time on the internet, especially when we have a low traffic time in that rush hour. But I found that when I stepped on the train in Germany, I found people don't looking at their phone. Instead, they read, they play like Scooter on newspaper, or they even like do the knitting stuff. I think it's quite impressive, or like, wow, people do have different kind of hobbies and they spend their times on train and they don't think like, probably it's because the internet is quite expensive in Germany and so people don't looking at their phone and they spend all the time on all the stuff. Yeah. So this is the thing I found, wow, it's like a culture shock.
I want to echo that. When I took the transportation in Germany and I found that they would just do their hobbies, I think that's cool because when you enter the MRT in Taipei, lots of people just look down their phone. People are just zoomed into their small screen.
Yeah, so now I gradually, like, every day I probably need to take the bus and go to school. And now I don't pay a lot of attention on the phone, but just standing there or sitting there and start to looking at each other, what they're doing. I think it's quite interesting when I see the people.
How about Marie?
It's really interesting.
What will you do in the bus? What will you do?
It's really interesting hearing that because I never thought it would be different in other countries, to be honest. Like, that's such a normal daily thing for me to see people do different stuff on the public transport. I think if it's a normal underground subway or the bus, more people are probably using the phones as well or just sitting there and listening to music. But I sometimes see people reading books and I'm really impressed by it too because I just get motion sickness really bad, but I would love to do that as well. But yeah, I really like that it's kind of an open space where everyone can just do what they want as long as it doesn't disturb other people. But also like longer trains like the ICE, the ones that it's over-regional, like more than within the city. There I see it more frequently that people do knitting and read books. And last weekend I actually went to Luxembourg by a fast train. And there I was doing some work for university as well. So there's a lot of things you could do to kill time. So I guess we, as Germans, like to use that time efficiently. I guess if that's to feed the cliche. But yeah, I think it's a nice way to just have some time to yourself, especially in those fast trains. There are sometimes some locations where you don't have any Wi-Fi or internet in general, so you kind of have to get back to the more, well, less digital things to do. So I guess that's why some people read then or just listen to music and look out the window and stuff like that. But it's really interesting to hear that it's not like that everywhere.
For my understanding, maybe it is the Wi-Fi coverage, because in Taiwan, in our previous experience, it's like 98% of a region that you can use your cell phone. But as you mentioned that some of a region in, like when you are taking a bus or taking a train, there's no Wi-Fi. I think maybe it's a driver for force people to read a book or doing something else.
Yes, definitely.
What's your thoughts when you went to Pittsburgh and you have taken some of a bus there? Did you observe anything different between America and Germany?
A few things, actually. Like the buses themselves, instead of having buttons to click when you want to get out, they had like a thingy, what's it called? Like a rope hanging at the side of the bus where you had to pull.
Yeah, kind of a cord.
Yes, the cord. Yes, that cord thing. Yeah. That was really interesting to me. That was my first culture shock when I got to Pittsburgh, actually, because we had to take the bus from the airport. And also, I didn't have any internet connection in Pittsburgh because I had to have bought some kind of new internet plan for that. And I just didn't want to for that 1 week, especially because all the other people had internet. So that's why I was more in the moment, mostly. But I was also really relying on my other colleagues to guide the way. But that was definitely a thing. And also once we went by bus and some ladies started talking to me, and it was really nice because I got to talk to some real Pittsburghian people. So that was really cool. Like in general, the openness or the friendliness and helpfulness of also bus drivers and people working in public were really open to helping us find the way somewhere or checking the bus for us. Or once we got on one bus in the direction of a really dangerous part of the town, and the bus driver warned us that, are we really sure if we want to go there and stuff like that. So that was really nice. I'm not sure if that would happen in Germany necessarily, because we don't really have really dangerous areas as well, or not, at least not where I usually want to go. Or we usually, I don't know, we just know where it's safe to go and where not. But yeah, that was something that I noticed a lot. And also people are really more open to giving compliments to random people as well. So we were walking on the street and someone complimented my sunglasses, which was really nice. And just in general, the openness.
Yeah, it did. It is really nice. I like it.
Yeah, me too. It was interesting. I just felt really loved that moment.
Yeah, so we have mentioned the sunglasses Marie has. I saw that in person. It's really interesting.
Thank you.
Will you have a small talk on the bus in Germany, or will you greet the driver?
Small talk sometimes when you're lucky, I feel like.
Yeah.
And usually when you're not wearing headphones, then it's more likely to happen. But I think nowadays everyone's just listening to music and stuff. So I don't think it's that likely to happen. But sometimes, yes, I've been in the bus sometimes where just random strangers, like a young dude and some elderly lady started talking about something mundane, some small talk, which was really nice. And it was always good conversation. So I'm always a bit jealous of those people, because I'm also quite talkative sometimes.
Really?
but also at the same time, depending on the time of the day, I think when people are getting home from work, they're just too exhausted to start talking to someone. And it's also kind of sometimes a bit weird, because you don't know, you don't want to talk about the weather to some random strangers, because it's kind of
weird.
It's not really necessary to have the conversation. So I feel like maybe with my generation, or millennials maybe as well, it's not that common to just start a conversation and talk about unnecessary things, so to say. Yeah.
Because I found that I have quite a lot of small talk with the people on the train or on the bus, accidentally. I don't know why, but sometimes it's because I don't understand where the train goes. The first time when I arrived in Frankfurt, and then I carry my suitcase, pop on the train, and then they start to have some announcement. And at that time, my German is not that good. I don't understand what was going on in this train. And, you know, German transportation sometimes is a bit unpredictable.
Yeah, it's tricky.
I found that people start to smiling at me. And I think that smile is a bit like something behind those smiles. I start to ask that, okay, so what's going on with the train? And I said, they just have a delay a couple of times, and probably you need to transfer, that you have to move. So I felt, because in the very beginning, I thought German people are more indifferent, or they won't act like American, that they will give you a lot of compliments, or they will start a small talk by themselves. But I found that people here, that they are really willing to help. Or if you know, you are a foreigner and you don't understand, my face already showed that I totally don't understand what's going on in the train. And they will smile at you and tell you what you should do. So yeah, kind of it happens many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's quite good. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like maybe most people don't, for me at least, if I see someone who's obviously lost, then I do... I ask them by myself. For me, at least, I can say for myself that if I see someone getting obviously lost and not knowing where to go, then I'm really open to just talking to them by myself. But other than that, if I'm not sure the person is confused or something like that, I wait for them to ask me, because I don't want to give unsolicited advice. And I remember half a year ago, an older woman on the bus asked me if the bus was stopping at her stop. And I checked it, and then we started talking, and she asked me about my phone. Is it good? Because she's looking for a new one and stuff like that. So we talked until she was leaving the bus. And that was really cute. I think those small conversations with random people sometimes kind of can light up your day as well.
So what's the second bulletin point?
Okay. I think people here value the weekend a lot. Like they will think we need to have time to like take a break or like to relax. But I think it's probably because now I'm here, I don't have a lot of like work loading. So I kind of also have the chance to go outside and see, oh, how people spend their weekend together. Because I live near the Neckar River. It's a river, a very beautiful river. So like every Sunday afternoon, I will go for a walk. And I found so many people is also like walking with me. Sometimes they are couples, sometimes they are a whole family, sometimes just like friends. They hang out together, they will spend their like quality time having picnic on the grass. Compared to my past experience, because when I was a student in Taiwan, I actually don't spend a lot of time outside. Instead, I just start in papers and then to read a lot of stuff. I overwork on weekend to try to make it up, like something I didn't finish on weekdays. But now I came here, I kind of like value my weekend here. So I think although I have something unfinished, weekend is my time for taking a rest. I'm not sure what Vivi will think or what Jasper will think, because now you are not in school anymore. Mm. Do you also enjoy your quality time on weekend, or do you still work on weekend?
I can totally relate to what you say, because that short period of time in Berlin totally changed my life. When I study in Berlin, sometimes I didn't have class on weekday. I also take a walk in the park or, you know, just wandering in the city.
Yes, yes.
I found that if you walk in the afternoon, many German, they will tied up wear suits, then bite on the street, have a couple of beers.
Really?
Yeah. So I was really curious about why they can be out of the office and have some leisure time. Ask my German buddy. She showed me around the school and helped me fit into the city and school life. She told me that many German people won't tie to the schedule they were asked when they are working.
Right.
I was kind of jealous because that's not possible in Taiwan, right? So we just work and even sometimes need to work overtime. And I think that time is like a vote. You value what's more important and you will spend more time to do that kind of things. When I came back to Taiwan and started to work, I kept reminding myself that what is the most important thing for me. Even now, I felt exhausted after work. The question still kept in my mind that I should just be myself and to set a boundary that I need to refuse overworkload.
Or like those unnecessary invitations.
That's right.
Social events.
Yes.
German people value the life-work balance a lot. For example, my friend worked from the morning to the evening. And at 6 o'clock, he would just stop working.
Immediately.
Immediately at 6 o'clock and say, okay, fire oven. Like, okay, now we don't need to work. We don't do overwork. I now just want to go home and chill. And chill.
Yeah, I think everything is actually comparison. Like, because most of us are from Asian culture, we are very diligent, working very overtime and showing our hardworking every time with our boss and our managers. So it brings the general question for Marie, like, what do you think the working environment in German from your point of view? The general working environment, do you satisfy with that, or you think, oh, it's still overwork in Germany so far?
It heavily depends on the company and your team and yourself as a person, obviously. But in the jobs that I've worked in, like my very first job was in a really traditional German, small family-owned company. And there they really were looking that I would finish on time and wouldn't do overtime. But I think that was more because I was still, like, I'm still a working student, but back then it was more strict, I guess. So that's why they didn't want to made me work overtime. And since then, I've worked at a few bigger companies, and there it was a bit more chill, especially during my internship I did too at Chibo. It's a coffee company from Germany. And there it was way more chill. Like, they still checked that I would be working most of the time, of course, but they didn't care if I stayed a bit longer on Tuesday and left a bit early on Wednesday. So it was more about trust. And also, especially at Chibo, they, especially in one of the teams, they really valued the Feierabendbier, which is the beer after you finish working. Because Germans just love their beer and their alcohol. So it kind of fits what you were talking about, Vivi, from Berlin. They left it on Fridays, like 4 p.m. Everyone would lay their books down and close their laptops and just drink a beer before going home and stuff like that. But that also really depends on the team, because in the second team I did the internship at, they didn't do that at all. And in the second team, I also stayed for overtime a lot as well, because the task just didn't really give me the flexibility to just sleep whenever I wanted to. Or it was more spontaneous tasks that I had to finish that day, so they would be done by tomorrow and stuff like that. And now at my current working student job, it's really chill as well. So it's really trust-based. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on tape, but right now it's actually my working time, and I'll just add the hour or so that we're talking later on. So it's really flexible however I want to work, basically. So if I'm taking a break for a bit longer, I'll just work a bit longer. And I still get my shit done. Like, that's the most important thing about it. But I was really lucky with my companies and my teams as of now. Work-life balance is important, and it really depends on what kind of job you're working at as well, I think. I'm in a consultancy, and for me, I'm not a consultant. I'm just working for their marketing team, so it's more chill for us. But I think in the consultancy area, it's more strict. Like, there's more working overtime and having deadlines and getting shit done. Yeah, it really depends on the person and the people, but alcohol is definitely a part of it everywhere. Yeah.
So Marie, in your personal experience, in your close friends, how many hours per week they work?
So that's a legal question, actually, because as a working student, we're allowed to work 20 hours a week. Right now I'm doing 16, and in February I'll have the semester break, and there I'm allowed to work full time. So it would be 40 hours. In the summer term, I will be working 20 hours as well. So it's like, it really depends on your task as well. So I have a few friends from university who are only working 10 hours a week during the semester. Some that are working a bit more, and then they count as overtime for the semester break and stuff like that. So that's, it's really different. But I think 20 hours is the maximum, the official one.
How about your parents? Like, your parents has working like 30 years in German? It's 40 hours is also a typical calendar hour for Taiwanese people. But I would say like maybe 70% of people over has worked over 40
That's
hours.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know what's the number in Germany.
I would have to look it up probably. But like, speaking from my parents, I think my dad works about 40 hours. And he's been at the company since I was born, so 25 years now. But my mom, when she came to Germany, she started to work as a dentist assistant. And there the hours were very varying as well, depending on how many patients they would have, depending on the season and stuff like that. So I guess it's probably 40 hours as well. And now she's doing an apprenticeship for ergotherapy. I'm not sure if that's the English word as well, but some kind of bodily therapy thing. So there she's working probably 40 hours as well, because it's 20 hours or so of school and then 20 hours of working at the company. And she's also, I don't know the word, like, she's also independently working. So she's also an artist. So whenever someone asks her to paint something, she'll do that as well. So it's probably more of 50, 60, maybe.
But that's her interest, right?
Yeah. So it really depends as well.
I have one question. Do you befriend with your colleague?
That's a good one.
It's an embarrassing
thing.
I can start. So at my current job at the consultancy, like, my team is very young. So I'm actually the youngest. With the two girls on my team, I'm very good friends. So with one of them, I always go studying at the library together as well. And we have some tea time and yapping sessions. The boys in the team, I also get along pretty well with them. But one of them, he really strictly separates private from work life. The last few weeks and months, he's become more open with me because I think he got that I'm chill. But before that, at Chiba, at my second internship, my team was mostly in their 50s, sometimes 60s, 40s was the youngest. And there we just didn't have much in common. So we didn't really befriend each other. And there it was more of a hierarchy. So they're not that much. And also at my first job with the more traditional company, there my boss, she was the age of my mom, but at the end, before I was leaving and she also left, we became kind of friends. Like, she started talking to me about her ex-husband and stuff like that, so it was really fun. That depends again, but I try to find jobs where I kind of can be friends with my colleagues, because I think it adds to the work environment and the openness in the team, and it's easier to work if you can just say whatever you want to your colleagues.
That's true. And how about Eva?
Okay, so I was a student teacher in a school because I was doing my internship. And, you know, like, school is not like a very open space place. Like, there's a lot of hierarchy in this system. And the teacher are usually like older than me. So it's hard for me, like, to tell my what I'm thinking about, what I truly thinking about with them. And normally we just like greet each other and talking about some problems or sharing what's going on in our class. I also learned some teachers who are in their 20s, so we have the similar ages, similar experience, and it's much easier for us to become friends. Especially when we don't have any benefits or like we don't need to work together, then it's much more easy to become friends. But I do also become friends with my mentor. She's like 20 years old, older than me. And we also travel together to Japan. So I think it really depends on the person's personality and also depends on their ages, whether they are open-minded or whether they want to be friends with you or not. What about Jasper?
I'm pretty agree with that, the chemistry between different people. I always say just by chance. Sometimes you just feel, oh, I'm comfortable with some colleagues, but sometimes not. But you are fixing in this company and you have no other choice to, so you need to work together. I have not many friends from my previous working environment, but I have maintained good relationship with my supervisors or managers before, because they are more experienced and I can get very good suggestion from different my previous manager, previous supervisor. Even when I'm moving on to the next stage, I can also ask for the previous mentor, how do you think about my situation, what kind of decision will you suggest, something like that. So even I now finish my PhD degree in United States, but I also have maintained some of a relationship with my previous mentor from academia or also from like international companies, because I think it's very valuable to maintain this kind of relationship. Anything else you want to share, Eva or Marie?
Yeah, that's Marie want to share, like, your culture shock in between the States and the
film. Well, when I'm talking about how diligent, how many hours we work, my first thought is that it's all comparison, because when I moved to Minnesota, I think, okay, it's so nice. We have only need to work like 40 hours per week. But because everything is comparison from East Asia, the working environment in America is short enough for us. But for Latin American, they are saying, oh, this is capitalism. We are so hard work for Latin America. For me, I tell you, oh, no, you don't know. You've never been to Japan. You've never been to Korean. There is more terrible than here. So this is a kind of paradise. You never know. But maybe, yeah, European country is more focusing on the welfare of the working environment. Yeah, I think the work-life balance is generally better in European country. That's my thought, but maybe Marie, you have a different idea.
From what I'm hearing, I agree. But also, I'm not sure if you could also split Europe into parts as well. Like the more northern countries are probably more strict on the working hours. But in comparison, I could imagine that maybe Spain, Italy, Portugal, they're a bit more chill or value the life part of the work life a bit more, like even more, just prioritize that a bit more, because also in Spain and Portugal, for example, you have way better weather and the beaches and all that. I could imagine that also plays a role. And also in Germany, we have a lot of laws for the work conditions. So there's an upper and lower limit for holidays and stuff like that, like vacation days and stuff like that, how you have to get paid if you have to work on weekends and so on. So that probably also adds to it.
In Taiwan, I overwork a lot. After our conversation, I think it probably because our mindset.
I think so too. Like we had a class for intercultural management, and there we talked about the differences between mindset, like you were saying, in especially the work environment. Like more East Asian countries are more for working for the common good, I think. And for Germany, for example, it was more individual. So is that real? Like, is that really a thing? Or is it just an old statistic?
I think that's true.
Oh, I think that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
This sharing can relate to another thing that when I was in Germany, I found that people usually don't buy luxuries goods. I think Asian people really want to get something outside. That's similar to we want to get compliments from our boss, or we want to be
proved, to get proved from others.
That's right. But when I was in Germany, I felt less about kind of
pressure.
Yes, I really enjoy to vintage stores. There are many secondhand stores, mm-hmm. and you can just try different type of dressing style and to find your own style. The atmosphere there is more, you can just be yourself.
So that also fits to Berlin very much. Like, I think in North Rhine-Westphalia, where I am in like the western part, it's also more open. But if you go to more to the south or the east of Germany, it's more, a bit more judgy, maybe a bit more traditional. And in especially Berlin, which makes it so different, there's so many different individual people that you could walk outside in your craziest outfit and there would be someone else who's even crazier looking than you. So that kind of gives you the or allows you to be as creative with how you look or how you act, which makes Berlin so special. And I think we're in the West going into that direction as well, but we're not there yet, not definitely not there yet. But I guess that's what makes Germany interesting. But also when you go to Munich or some kind of small town in the East or South, there you will get all the weirdest looks when you're wearing a normal but good outfit, you know, but Berlin is really different.
Yeah, crazy city.
Yeah.
Yes. And I found people here usually dress in black or blue, like in dark color, right?
Could be. Maybe it's a Heidelberg thing.
My jackets, they are very bright, like orange and bright blue. And sometimes I found, oh, I'm so special on the train. And probably people will think I'm like a weirdo. Why does this people wear this super bright color in the train?
Yeah, one last thing on style, because I also like to dress more colorful. I have noticed that it really depends on the city where I'm comfortable wearing the colorful stuff. Because also in my hometown in Dortmund, I don't think I expressed myself completely, maybe during COVID because there were not that many social interactions. But then when I did my internship, it was in Hamburg. And since it's also quite a big city, I was more open to trying different outfits and being a bit more out there. And now in Münster, it's a bit smaller, but very student-y, where the style is also very different from what I've known before. I think we're getting there to be a bit more colorful, but I don't know about Heidelberg. I've never been there. So maybe there it's a bit more darker.
And I want to add something on what Vivi talked about, because in my German courses, there is a text and talking about whether we should always pursue the best stuff or like the newest stuff. And I got a very different view from the text, because in Taiwan, everyone wants to buy the latest
iPhone.
That's true. And I also buy iPhone, and I also buy like the new camera with me. But when I talk to the people, oh, she's also from Ukraine, and she say, no, we don't need to buy like the latest stuff. If something is, you can use it, then you just use it. So many people here tend to buy the secondhand product or like secondhand stuff. It kind of like changed my mindset, because my father always told me, yeah, if you buy the latest stuff, then you can use it for a long time. I think it's also like people here, they have more choices. They think more deeply than I do, I think. Yeah.
I love secondhand stuff as well. So I'm really happy that you see it that way in Germany, because I feel there's still a lot to do, and there's still much more possibility to do stuff more sustainably. But we're definitely, like, as of right now, we're going in a good direction, especially after having been to Pittsburgh. I've seen how many plastic dishes and all that stuff we had. I really appreciated Germany's sustainability even more. So yeah, it's nice to see that it's actually visible for new people in Germany as well. But I would have thought that maybe East Asian countries are also a bit further with sustainability, but maybe you can say something about that as well. Is it going in a more green direction?
I think it depends on person, like different person. For me, I have my own container in Taiwan. So if I go to the restaurant or eat buffet outside, then I will take my own container with me. But my friends, sometimes they will say, oh, you're so environmental, what do you always bring this stuff with me? I don't think, oh, because I don't want to, like, if you use the container, you can have a discount, you can get a discount, then that's the reason why I use it. But I'm not sure, some of my friends, they don't care about sustainability. They will think, it's fine, it's just a plastic bag, or it's just chopsticks, it doesn't matter a lot. Vivi and Jasper?
For me, I think it's very depend on your community.
Yes.
Mm. When I'm in Minnesota, and here we are very large state, there's no recycle here. Mostly, there's no recycle. They don't care about you throw your plastic or your leftover together. Nobody cares. Because of the land, the area is too large. So you don't know where is the garbage dump. And you didn't see that. You didn't feel that. Even you are not doing the recycle, it doesn't matter to your life. So you don't care. Oh, what's the difference if you do the recycling? No one knows. Because the land, the river is large enough, so no one see that. Taiwan is a very small island. If you dump your garbage in the river and all the fish died, you can immediately see, oh God, this river has become black. Yeah. So you feel kind of aware, oh, you should be doing something like recycling or like make it more green, sustainable. Recycling in America, it's not really easy. Even you are doing recycle, you are separate different your plastic, your paper things into different garbage can. But when the processing, it's still going to the same direction.
Yes, yes.
Even you want to do that, but in your community base, it doesn't matter. It's still putting everything in the same garbage can. So that's somehow frustrated.
Yeah, I can imagine that's frustrating. Do you think that will change anytime soon?
I think there must be some incentives. What can you earn if you doing the recycle correctly?
Oh, we have Pfand in Germany. If you buy the plastic bottle or like can, then you have to pay first. You have to pay like 25 cents before, so that you want to get your money back, and you have to bring the plastic bottles or those cans back to the supermarket and put it into a machine, and you will get the
refund,
your money back.
We can say it's a deposit, I think.
Yes,
deposit. I was wondering what you think about it, because I recently saw that in Austria, they just a week ago, like for the beginning of the year, they started introducing the deposit system. And so many people are outraged about it. They don't like it. They have so many critical things to say about it, which are just not true, because in Germany, we've been doing that for so long and it's working just fine. And you get the money back. So you're not losing something, really. So it was really interesting in hearing your opinion, especially Eva, now that you're new in Germany and you kind of have to do it if you want to. But also why debt is not a thing in the US or in Taiwan as well.
Okay, so in my personal opinion, I think it's a bit inconvenient for me. I'm the person who will do the recycle. Last time when my friends, like, we drink some beers together, and so we will have a lot of can. But we have to bring the can back to the supermarket. But the garbage dumpster just right there, and I have to like carry a long way. I carry like 5 beer cans and other bottles, so it's quite heavy for me. And I go to my German class first, and afterward, I go to the supermarket, and people saw me like, "Why do you want to carry so many bottles with you?" I don't say, "I don't know. I just want to get my money back, and I want." I'm the person who will do the recycle, but you know, to get the money back, I have to carry those stuff with me. So it's kind of like inconvenient for me, but it's also very effective because you can make sure that those bottles will go to the right place.
Mm.
Because I'm also thinking, like, I'm now living on my own since April, the first time for real. So I kind of have to bring away my deposit as well. And I just have this really big piling up, and I always try to find a day where I don't forget to bring it to the supermarket with me. And also, like, the glass bottles and the plastic bottles also have different amounts of money you get back. So that's really tricky sometimes as well, because you also don't always, like, you can't always bring away the same bottles to all of the supermarkets. So that depends again. But I think in the end, it's a good thing. But you really have to get used to it. Like, you have to remind yourself to bring it back. And also what I wanted to tell you about, there's a campaign from one of those drink producers, which just says Pfand gehört daneben, which means you have to, like, the Pfand, the deposit, is supposed to be put next to the trash can. So if you don't want to bring it to the supermarket, like if it's only a bottle, or if you just don't want to inconvenience yourself, just put it next to the trash can. So the people collecting the deposit, like homeless people or just less fortunate people, they can just take it instead of having to look in the trash or get money otherwise. So I think that's a really nice and social idea as well. So I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but I thought it's a nice add-on to the fund system.
I think most people are willing to do the recycle. However, if there's no stronger incentive or it's not convenient, then we will get lazy and want to skip that process. If we want to fundamentally change that situation, design a good mechanism to do the recycle will be more efficient, rather than we just do promotion or to ask people to do something but not support them to do that.
Action speaks louder than those slogan. Is that what you mean?
That's right.
I would like to change the gear a little bit about how is the diversity in your, like, university, your town, Eva in Heidelberg and Marie in Munster.
I will say it's quite international, because people here can speak, I think, more than 2 or 3 languages. Usually people here, they speak English and German, and sometimes they will have more like second foreign language, like French, Spanish, or because of their like personal background, because of their parents, and they will have 5 or 6. So quite diversity. What about Münster?
I think, like, because it's a student city, we do have a lot of Erasmus exchange students. Like, yeah.
Yes, we also
have a lot of Spanish people, especially, or Spanish-speaking people. But also one of my peers from university, she's Indian, and she says that a lot of Indians are coming to Münster or like North Rhine-Westphalia in the moment as well, because they found out, in parentheses, that it's a good place to study. So that's getting more diverse here as well. And also, I'm not sure if I'm just in my international bubble, because I'm studying an international program. So we do have a lot of internationals here. So that's why it seems diverse to me. But in the end, I think Münster is pretty much German white students and German older people. So I guess in some ways it is diverse because of the Erasmus people, but the Erasmus students are also leaving every half year. So I'm not sure if that really adds to the diversity, you know? So I would say it's still pretty open, but not always, maybe.
I'm an international student, so I usually hang out with other international students. And I hope you think probably half of them are international students. My study is like English study, so we have more people from different places. But I think in my school, they have a lot of programs for international students. They will hold the workshops, tell you how to like write academic in English, academic stuff in English. And they also will have a lot of excursion for international students. Like, we have excursion for every week. And they also have the programs for body programs for international student and local student to have the opportunity to get to know each other.
Okay, I think we are going to ending with the conversation. Anything you want to add to how will you introduce Germany? The properties you want to share with the world from your perspective? Or Eva, you can share how excited you have found in Heidelberg. One or two things you want to share with our audience.
I'm not sure it's about Heidelberg, but I want to encourage people who are still thinking whether they should go abroad, whether they should do exchange year. I will say definitely you need to go outside and see the world. And it's possible if you have two choices, like you can stay half year or like whole year. I strongly recommend you just staying for the whole year, because I think half year is too short. You don't have a lot of time to get into the whole environment, get into the people. But if you stay longer, you can feel it and you can experience it. I highly recommend people to go abroad, do their exchange year or gap year. And I also want to say, like, Heidelberg is a place like very suitable for international students. Yes, very beautiful place, and teach you how to relax, how to like talk, have spending time with yourself. That is also a very important thing I learned here.
Thinking about how to spend more time here.
Get a German husband and you'll be fine. Maybe not. I don't like, yeah, no, that's another topic.
And for Marie, do you have a final word to our every audience?
I want to encourage everyone to be open and to open for cultures, open for new people, and just get out there and explore the world and check out all the new places that you can get to, especially in Germany. Even though there you have some kind of cliches and stigma around it, there's still a few or a lot of beautiful places to see. So I can only agree with Eva that you should take your time when you're here, and you're being kind of in the middle of the EU, you can go around Germany pretty well and check out all the other countries as well. So you should definitely do that. But you just have to be prepared for a bit cold and rainy weather in Germany.
True. So true. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's call it a day. And really appreciate that our two lovely guests joining the first English episode.
I loved it.
Yeah, we will have more English episode in the future. Thank you all the audience and our guests.
Especially they are worldwide and want to also join the conversation together.
Yeah, thank you for today's meeting. It's very rewarding and very exciting and interesting. So people who like this kind of conversation, you can follow Instagram No Draft Podcast. And we also have podcasts and Spotify.
Okay, so see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria and Eva.